From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, and today for this program, I would like to accompany you 1 hour ahead. Hopefully, all of you are fine and today is better for you than yesterday, and I hope also that tomorrow will be much better for you all than today. And for this edition, on 20th August 2019, I would like to present some programs started with news, commentary, and other self-information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Well, listener, I would like to begin this program with the news. So, stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia makes progress in guaranteeing the rights to have religions. Indonesian batik is exhibited in Thailand. And now the news in detail. The decision of the Constitution Court to approve and put belief as a new identity on the identity card is a significant development over commitment of Indonesian government to guarantee the same rights for all Indonesian people. It was said by Deputy of Social and Humanity of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences Trinuke Pudjiastuti at an international seminar with theme Indigenous and Minority Religions, State Law and Citizenship in Indonesia, held in Jakarta on Monday. However, she said there are still many aspects that need to be analyzed for better and equal implementation. Then, on the segment of religion, belief can be written. There are two columns and it is an advancement. But in practice, there is still discrimination of things which are not understood. There is no problem in one case, but in another case, there cannot be received at all. Those must have not happened because Indonesian citizens has the same rights. Besides, Trinuke also emphasized that the problem related to difference often becomes the attention of researchers from many countries. But the problem of plurality and minority does not only happen in Indonesia, but also occurs in global level. Indonesian Ambassador to Thailand Ahmad Rushdi said bilateral relations between Indonesia and Thailand were filled with many activities held both in Bangkok and at the Thai Embassy in Indonesia. One of the activities that has been carried out is the ongoing batik exhibition at the Sirikit Museum in Bangkok, Thailand. That was said by Ambassador Ahmad Rushdi in an interview with Voice of Indonesia recently.
Saya juga merasa bersyukur karena di Thailand ini juga sedang.
I also feel grateful because in Thailand, this Indonesian batik exhibition is also ongoing. It's a collection of the 7 to 9 Rama kings, as many as 307 pieces on display at the Sirikit Museum, which is in the compound or even in the Royal Palace of Thailand. This batik exhibition has been going on for 2.5 years. The exhibition was inaugurated by Princess Sirinton of Thailand and attended by Ratu Hemas, the wife of Sultan Hamengkubuwono X from Yogyakarta. According to Ahmad Rushdi, it shows that bilateral relations between Indonesia and Thailand increased quite intensely. weaving cloth from Balai Panjang from Payakumbuh City, West Sumatra, will be exhibited at the ASC New York Fashion Week NFW International event on September 8, 2019. It was explained by Chairman of Region National Handicraft Board of Payakumbuh City, Henny Riza Falepi, in Payakumbuh on Monday. New York Fashion Event is one of the world's top four Fashion Week besides Paris Fashion Week, London Fashion Week, and Milan Fashion Week. Henny said the exhibition of Balai Panjang weaving cloth in the event is based on the active role of fashion designer Tuti Adib. Henny hoped that the display of Balai Panjang weaving cloth in the international arena of New York Fashion Week will help the local products to go international. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. State-owned train manufacturing company PT Industri Kereta Api Indonesia or INKA is expecting to earn 7.2 trillion rupiah or about $506.5 million US dollars worth of order contracts this year, including from exports of rolling stock to African and Asian countries. As quoted by the JakartaPost.com, INKA President Director Budi Noviantoro on Monday said that the company, based on a contract signed in January 2018, would deliver 30 electro-diesel locomotives worth $91.3 million US dollars to Zambia. He further stated that under an October 2018 contract, INKA was delivering 250 trains, 200 of which were of the meter gauge type, while 50 were broad gauge worth $189 million US dollars to Bangladesh. Of the trains ordered, INKA already delivered 50 to Bangladesh in January, while the rest were being delivered gradually. Budi said that based on a contract signed in May last year, the company was exporting 4 diesels multiple unit or DMU trains worth $70.2 million US dollars to the Philippines. Association of Professors of Environment across Indonesia provided support for the plan of moving the capital city of Indonesia from Java to Kalimantan. The move of the capital city to the island of Borneo is believed to create the center of civilization for the Indonesian people. It was stated by Chairman of the Association, Professor Tasdianto Rohadi, in a press conference on moving the capital city in the perspective of the environment and human rights in Jakarta on Monday. As quoted by Republika Online, he believes moving the capital city of Jakarta to the island of Kalimantan will save ecology of Java Island, which almost collapsed, and will also have a domino effect on equitable development, economic equality, social, political, and cultural stability. Besides, the move to the capital will recreate a center of civilization for the Indonesian people. The East Nusa Tenggara provincial government has been making strenuous efforts to reduce stunting among children, to which end Governor Victor B. Laiskodat is working with the district and city administrations and related stakeholders. The prevalence of stunting in the province had touched a staggering 42.46% in 2018, or surpassed Indonesia's national prevalence level of 30.8%. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Laiskodat on Monday said that fighting childhood stunting is priority of East Nusa Tenggara provincial government. To tackle this problem, the government has been engaging parties tasked with handling affairs such as health, food security, clean water and sanitation, poverty alleviation and education. Furthermore, the government had made ongoing nutritional interventions through the provision of more nutritionally dense foods to targeted infants. And the last item, in a bid to improve higher education, President Joko Widodo administration plans to make it easier for foreigners to work in the country as rectors or lecturers. As quoted by the JakartaPost.com, Research, Technology and Higher Education Minister Muhammad Nasir at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday said that the government is not playing around with the plan, as they will also revise 16 regulations to make it work. The revision is expected to be done by the end of this year, so the plan can be implemented next year. The minister did not specify which regulations would be revised, but he said the change would also all eligible candidates for rector positions, whether from inside or outside the country, to compete fairly. He further said applicants should have at least good networks and experience in leading a university and conducting research. The government is keen to get local universities listed at least among the top 200 universities in the world. Nasir said foreign academics were expected to produce higher quality graduates, as the country's universities had struggled to improve their rankings in global charts of top universities. And listener to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia makes progress in guaranteeing the rights to have religions. Indonesian batik is exhibited in Thailand. And listener, that's the news.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is it necessary to revive the National Guidelines of State Policy, JBHN? While listener, in Indonesia, more recently political parties have raised a lively discourse about whether to revive the National Guidelines of State Policy, JBHN. If this is approved by the People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, there will be another amendment to the 1945 Constitution. History has recorded that since Indonesia's independence, the 1945 amendment process has been carried out four times. In the legal and political dynamics of Indonesia, the amendment to the 1945 Constitution is one of the implementations of the reformed spirit created after the fall of the New Order regime, which ruled for more than three decades. The most noticeable change is the amendments to the presidential and vice presidential election. The election is no longer referred by members of the MPR, but elected directly by the people. This amendment was made to avoid bitter experiences during the New Order. During his time in power, the second president, Suharto, was considered to be very authoritarian. With the amendment, the president can be impeached if he or she is proven to violate the provisions of the law. With the current system, many people question whether reviving the JBHN is very urgent. At present, the president no longer works as a mandate of the MPR. With a direct mandate from the people, the elected president of Republic of Indonesia is no longer imperial to the MPR. Therefore, the JBHN compiled by the MPR is not necessary anymore. The president must carry out the vision and mission as he or she conveyed when campaigning to the people. Previously, chairperson of the MPR, Zulkifli Hasan, explained that national development planning in the JBHN is necessary because of Indonesia's vast and large geographical conditions. The direction will be a guide for the implementation of sustainable national development. However, President Joko Widodo has affirmed the rejection of the proposal to revive the JBHN. The reason is that JBHN is no longer needed because Indonesia has already a national development planning system, SPPN, listed in the Law Number 25/2004 as a substitute for the JBHN. The SPPN regulates the National Long-Term Development Plan for the period 2005 until 2025, and the National Medium-Term Development Plan for the period of every 5 years. Whether to revive the National Guidelines of State Policy, JBHN, or not will be determined by the members of MPR. However, sincere intentions must be proven in the determination. The Indonesian people do not want the reviving the JBHN is only ruling party's rationality to impose its will by suppressing the president and dwarfing the democracy which has been painstakingly pursued in this country. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program through RRIWO service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, History of RRIWO service, Voice of Indonesia, well, we start from event on August 20, 1968, that is Warsawa Fed Force enter FRAC. On August 20, 1968, Warsaw Pact force led by Soviet Union entered Prague, the capital city of Czechoslovakia. For several times, the communist rulers occupied the country. Previously, due to the people's dislike to communist ruler Alexander Dučić, a moderate figure from Czechoslovakia who became the prime minister of the country, gave limited freedom to his people. What the prime minister did was inflicting the Soviet leaders' worry. Therefore, Warsaw Pact member countries carry out military action. The Soviet Union forces later occupied the country as repressing the people. Alexander Dučić was fought off, and Czechoslovakia freedom movement known as Prague Sprint was totally immobilized. Thank you. The next event is that on August 20, 2003, Suramadu Bridge was inaugurated. Suramadu Bridge is a bridge crossing Madura Strait and connecting Java Island and Madura Island, with 5,438 meters long. The bridge is the longest bridge in Indonesia. It consists of three parts: overpass, connecting bridge, and main bridge. The beginning of the bridge construction was inaugurated by President Megawati Soekarnoputri on August 20, 2003, and the opening was inaugurated by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono on June 10, 2009. The bridge establishment is aimed to speed up the development in Madura Island, which was relatively left behind than other areas in East Java. The estimation of bridge establishment cost was 4.5 trillion rupiah. And the last event is that in 2008, there was Spanair Flight JK5022 accident. Spanair Flight JK5022 fell down in a short-distance flight from Barajas Airport in Madrid to Gran Canaria Airport in Gran Canaria, Spain on August 20, 2008. The airplane carried 172 people, consisting of 162 passengers, 4 passenger cabin crews and 6 cabin crews. The accident was the greatest air disaster in West Europe since Lockerbie bombing in 1988, with 153 people killed on the spot and 7 others dead on heading to hospital. The airplane burned on its left engine and fell near the runway, split in half and exploded by several consecutive explosions. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Perahu kertasku kan melaju, membawa surat cinta. Sedikit gila, tapi ini adanya. Perahu kertas mengingatkanku betapa ajaib hidup ini, mencari-cari tambatan hati. Kau hidupkan lagi mimpi-mimpi, cita-cita yang lama ku pendam sendiri. Berdua ku bisa percaya.
Well, listener, that's the song entitled Perahu Kertas, sung by Maudy Ayunda. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. In today's edition, I would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The title of today's My Indonesia is Indonesia Strengthens Climate Change Cooperation with Pacific at the 50th PIF Summit in Tuvalu. Director General of Asia Pacific and Africa at the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Destra Percaya, led the Indonesian delegation at the 50th Pacific Island Foreign Summit in Funafuti, Tuvalu, on 13 until 16 of August 2019. As quoted from the Foreign Ministry website.co.i, Destra said that currently the impact of climate change is a real and dangerous threat faced by countries in the Pacific Ocean region, including Indonesia. At a meeting between PIF leaders and dialogue partners on Friday, he emphasized that Indonesia is committed to playing a major role in overcoming the challenges of the Pacific region, which is largely an island nation. These challenges are climate change, marine issues, and natural disasters. Indonesia also wants to contribute to efforts to develop the Pacific region. It should be kept in mind that Indonesia also faces the same impacts of climate change as the Pacific region. Indonesia is a partner of the Pacific countries and an inseparable part of this region. Indonesia is ready to concretely fight for the interests of the archipelago at the 25th Climate Change Conference, UNFCCC, COP, in Santiago, Chile, in December 2019. The 50th PIF Summit has addressed issues of deep concerns in the Pacific, such as regional security, climate change, and maritime security. PIF endorsed the Kainaki Second Declaration for Urgent Climate Change Action and agreed to draft the 2050 Strategy for the Blue Pacific Continent. The meeting also marked the handover of the PIF chairperson from Nauru 2018-2019 to Tuvalu 2019-2020. The discussion on climate change issues dominated the course of this year's PIF summit. Pacific Island countries are very vulnerable to the threat of climate change, which may bring about huge losses, especially as a result of a threat of rising sea levels, intensified natural disaster and humanitarian issues in which island communities are threatened to survive by migrating to other countries. In addition, PIF countries also focus on developing joint position to fight for the upcoming COP25 meeting. Since 2001, Indonesia has regularly attended PIF annual meetings together with other dialogue partners, including the United States, China, South Korea, Japan, and the European Union. Indonesia is always present and it contributes actively by exchanging views, sharing experiences, and offering technical assistance in the form of training and capacity building to the Pacific countries. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Jatuh cinta lagi untuk kesekian kali saat pandangan kita menyatu. Menatap langit biru terlukis senyum cerah kan warna warni taburi kehidupanku. Ku terlahir untuk mengukir indah dunia. Kau mata
Well, listener, you have just listened music from Ada Band with title Hitam dan Putih. Hopefully, you enjoy listening that music. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener would like to present next segment Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listeners and today citizen of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Siung Beach in Yogyakarta. Touring to Yogyakarta, especially to beach, is the right choice because Gunung Kidul Regency in Yogyakarta has many beautiful beaches which are interesting to be visited. One of them is Siung Beach. It has white sand and it is quite known in Yogyakarta, even until abroad. Besides its beauty, Siung Beach is quite easy for tourists to visit. Siung Beach is located at Waters Hamlet, Purwodadi Village, tepus Gunung Kidul Regency. From Jogja, downtown, it has a distance around 77 kilometers or around 2 until 3 hours by motor vehicles. Arriving at Siung Beach, you will see many giant rocks which are spread out in the west and east of the beach. In addition to becoming characteristics of the beach, the existence of the rocks has a meaning of the beach name. People say the giant rocks look like teeth of monkey or Siung Wanara. Thus, the beach is called Siung. In addition, if you are lucky, you will see long-tailed monkeys surrounding the beach. The existence of the monkeys is really real. Among rock climbing lovers, Siung Beach is the one that should be conquered. Having around 250 spots with different difficulties, Siung Beach has succeeded to obtain a award of the best climbing rock site in Yogyakarta. So, if you are a rock climbing lover, you should visit the beach. Besides enjoying activities such as swimming and playing water, you can climb green hill named Pengilon. From the hill, you can enjoy nice view of Siung Beach from altitude. Even you can witness cluster of other beaches which are located in Gunung Kidul, such as Wudi Ombo and Watu Lumbung beaches. If you come in the morning, you can witness beautiful sunrise. If you want to stay at night, you can set your tent at the east part of the beach. Siung Beach also provides some facilities such as parking space, toilet, little malls, and some restaurant which provide seafood and special menu of Yogyakarta. Listeners, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thanks for listening.
We'll be right back.
Listener, you have just listened music from Chocolate with title Karma. For the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education and the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Semoga Lekas Sembuh, or in English, Get Well Soon. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Semoga Lekas Sembuh, or in English, Get Well Soon. Dinda seems not well, Tony asks her.
Dinda, kamu sakit?
Iya, saya flu.
Sudah berobat belum?
Belum, tapi sepertinya tidur saja cukup.
Oh, semoga lekas sembuh ya.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today. Semoga lekas sembuh, in English, get well soon. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Dinda, kamu sakit? Dinda, kamu sakit? In English, Dinda, are you okay? Ya, saya flu. Ya, saya flu. In English, I'm flu. Sudah berobat? Sudah berobat? In English, have you seen a doctor? Belum. Tapi sepertinya tidur saja cukup. Tapi sepertinya tidur saja cukup. In English, not yet. I just need enough sleep. Semoga lekas sembuh. Semoga lekas sembuh. In English, get well soon. In the dialogue, you've just listened an expression, Dinda, kamu sakit? In English, Dinda, are you okay? The question can be expressed when you see someone look sick. In a complete sentence, you can say, Dinda, apakah kamu sakit? When you know that someone is sick, you can say, Sudah berobat? In English, have you seen a doctor? Or in a complete sentence, apakah kamu sudah berobat? This is general expression which is usually used by Indonesian people when suggest someone to seek treatment. Next, in a dialogue, you've just listened, Dinda said, tapi sepertinya tidur saja cukup. Tapi sepertinya tidur saja cukup. In English, I just need enough sleep. It means that she does not need to go to a doctor for treatment because she feels just need for sleep. Well, generally we can say semoga lekas sembuh. In English, get well soon as our expectation and pray for the sick. Listen Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Dinda, kamu sakit?
Iya, saya flu.
Sudah berobat belum?
Belum, tapi sepertinya tidur saja cukup.
Oh, semoga lekas sembuh ya.
Now I'll give you an exercise by mentioning the name, profession, the place for work, the day, office hour, and etc. For example, nama saya Andi. Saya seorang wartawan. Saya bekerja di Surat Kabar Sinar Pagi. Saya bekerja dari Senin sampai Jumat, mulai pukul 8 pagi sampai pukul 4 sore. Jam istirahat saya mulai pukul 12 sampai dengan pukul 1 siang. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Tiada pernah.
Listener, you have just listened music from 3 composer with title Masih Ada. You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, next segment we would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, I present you this traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, welcome back in Music Corner. Today, we present you a Malayan song entitled Makan Siri. The lyrics of Makan Siri song, sung by Victor Huta Barat, are repetitive and containing of advice in order not to be said when break up. The Malayan song has andante or common tempo. The song Makan Siri is usually accompanied by Malayan musical instruments, which consist of violin, drum, and accordion. Victor Huta Barat, a singer who is Batak descent, has released a lot of Indonesian popular songs and also album of Batak songs which were quite popular in his era. He is also able to sing Malayan songs. Let's listen to Makan Siri, sung by Victor Huta Barat. Enjoy the song.
Well, listener, now we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for all of your kind attention and time to listen this program. After this English language program broadcasting, will accompany you again. Now we give you another interesting information. So stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address, voi@voinews.id.